You'll have to excuse me because I've written it all out. I was afraid I would wander around too much chatting and reminiscing too much, and I'd get off track and it'd be end up like half an hour instead of 10 minutes. So I wrote it out, but I'll elaborate, you know, if I feel like it. So, in the beginning, God created Grace Community Church, and the church was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the families. And the Spirit of God moved through Pastor Ken McCowan, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It's interesting to see how God works through ordinary means and his people to achieve his purposes. After Libby and I met the Wilguses by hiring Walter to do some renovation work on our house, and Lori asking Libby to bring Max over for a play date, we began a close friendship that led to starting a Growing Kids God's Way class and a Bible study with some new friends, Peter and Patty Lyle. We began attending Berean Baptist Church, which is right next door here, which is kind of funny that we're meeting here now. And we met the Wilguses' friends, who included the Stricklands, the Michauds, the Chelmans, Harrises, and others. As we went through the Navigators program and the Bible study, I, being filled with excitement of the good news, was sharing all these Baptist nuggets with my mother, who is a well-versed and unabashed Presbyterian. She challenged me on those things that compromise God's sovereignty and disagreement with the doctrines of grace. I posed these challenges to my instructors, which eventually, as the seed grew, began a mini-Reformation movement that spread to other families and friends. I can remember discussions with groups and individuals trying to explain, using a popular illustration, that it's impossible for a dead person to lift even one finger to grab onto that flotation ring thrown by Christ to save your life. People began to see that throughout the Bible, it is clear that God chooses who is elect and who is not, and man is dead in sin. This mini-Reformation was met with strong resistance from the Baptist community, and harsh warnings of heresy were leveled, which is why it is still funny that we're right next door. In the winter of 1997, a Bible study was formed, led by Pastor Ken McCowan, a Calvinistic Baptist pastor and organist, serving as pulpit supply, which he did for 10 years at the North Woolwich Methodist Church, to help the newly enlightened families understand the doctrines of grace. Ken was released from his position at North Woolwich by the Methodists and began preaching at Westport Baptist Church. I'm going to use my high-tech overheads here. That's the church there. Some of you will remember this church. Others, you should drive by and take a peek at it. It was kind of fun. This church is a small one-room building that dates back to the 1800s and used a pot-bellied wood stove for heat. Gene Fairfield, who is the deacon of the church at the time, would have to come in early to fire the stove to warm the building for service. Sounds cozy, but those near the stove were way too hot, and those furthest away were freezing. It helped get people to church on time to get the best seating, though. In 1998, many of the families swept up in the mini-Reformation began attending church in Westport, and over the next year, more and more families moved there along with an organ, which was clearly too large for the building. Ken preached the word with gusto and with a clearly reformed theological understanding. He was not afraid to stomp his foot and pound the pulpit, and he played the piano and organ to the point of rattling the building. He would not like stomping his foot here because of the slab. He wouldn't get the effect he did in these old buildings. We paid to add a monitor heater to help improve the facilities, and it would have been nice to have added a bathroom, too, since we all had to use the pastor's bathroom at his house across the street. But woe unto those who flushed paper down the toilet, since it would plug his system and he didn't want to have to pay to have it pumped. The Westport Church was bursting at the seams, and it became obvious we needed to plant a new church in the Bath, Brunswick area. So on May 28th, 1999, men from seven families, the Michauds, Harris's, Mattson's, Wilgus, Lyle, Strickland's, and Anderson began meeting with Canada's Home once a month to begin work on forming a constitution with the plan that this process would help solidify the type of Reformed church we would become. What a sweet time it was in that dim, low-wattage lighting, eating old frozen desserts left over from fellowship meals, washed down with coffee made from used grounds, discussing the Lord's church. Being the true Scot Ken was, the only room Ken occupied was heated with an old kerosene space heater, and the doors were to be kept closed at all times, and he would let you know if you had left it open. He liked having some of us, he liked having us over because he, as he said, it added free heat to his house. I volunteered to facilitate the meetings to help organize and move things forward. The formation meetings were held until we completed writing and approving a constitution and studying through the London Baptist Confession of 1689, since we voted to be a confessional church. We took a break from the Constitution to focus on studying the Confession, then went back to review and finalize the Constitution. The Chelman family joined the meetings in the spring of 2000 and the Minieris in the beginning of 2001. I don't have the exact date, you probably remember.
End of October 2000?
You started attending. Okay. Yeah, I didn't have you in the minutes of the meeting until then, but there was kind of a black hole in that time. With the help of Frank Strickland as treasurer, we started collecting money in May of 1999 to help plant the church. So in November of 2000, we made the move to begin meeting at the West Bath Grange Hall as Grace Community Church. At this point, the trustees, the men included, I'll take the trustees out because they weren't trustees at that point. The men involved in the meeting included the Michauds, Andersons, Wilgus, Minieri, Chelman, and Strickland families. Ken would preach at the Westport Church and then hop into his minivan and drive to West Bath to preach at our church, like an old-time circuit preacher on his horse. He kind of liked that image, too. When we first began meeting, we were just a bunch of men moved to establish a church. Ken wanted to make us all elders, which we knew was wrong, but was set out of love for us, which we deeply appreciated. Once we started meeting at a church, we needed to begin to transition to the church leadership structure as defined in the Constitution and seek a non-binding oversight from an established church. So a GCC interim government process was written, adopted, and put into motion by approving Walter Wilgus, Steve Michaud, and Frank Strickland, who volunteered as trustees, who then elected Ken McCowan as the first elder of GCC. An oversight agreement was drafted, which once we settled on an oversight church, the agreement could be modified to suit both parties. At this point, Steve Michaud took over, who was one of the trustees at that point. He took over as facilitator of the meetings, and I stepped to the side to observe. And so Steve will fill out the next part of our history. And that's the West Bath Grange that we moved into.
Okay, there's a little overlap. Let's hope it jives with everything you just heard. So I'm going to start a little bit in the fall of 99, there was an important meeting that we always laugh about for those that were around, and that's that the Stricklands went down to the Worcester Church where Micah's uncle was the pastor, and Ron Baines, our former pastor, were co-pastors at Worcester. And as Chris said, we were under an oversight agreement with them. We were reaching out. We knew we were a little bit flailing in the dark, so we knew we needed some help. And so the Stricklands ended up being our emissaries down there. And if you know, you remember Ron, obviously, and if you knew Mike Renihan, Micah's uncle, they were not shrinking violets, and so they spent the afternoon, as I recall, grilling the Stricklands about, are you a Reformed church? Are you a confessional church? And, of course, they didn't have a clue whether we were or not, because we didn't have a clue. And so they came back appropriately rocked by them, as I recall, and we knew that we needed to have help and organization, and they were more than happy to provide it. But it was a kind of a famous meeting in our life, as they were never the same since. Frank was actually not gray then and came back in the week he was. So. But we loved the men anyway, and they just didn't pull back on how we didn't know what we were doing. So in the fall of 2000, a little repeat, I did have the five families became six when the Mineries came. They found the Grace Community Church on the web and visited Westport. And after the first Sunday at West Bath, Joe began meeting with the group. And as we've discussed, first Sunday service at the West Bath Grange was November 12, 2000. And that was found with also Strickland related. They were doing a house search, and somehow it found something that involved the West Bath Grange. And then remember Courtney Stover? Chris and Frank. And Chris was involved with Courtney. And did I get his name right? Courtney Stover? Yeah, another old crusty guy that was involved in our beginnings and got us into West Bath Grange. West Bath Grange was great if you like dust bunnies, freezing cold water, wash your hands only in January, kind of dark, creepy people on the walls looking at you while you're trying to worship on Sunday morning. But it was it did the job, and as Chris said, Ken did double duty for 4 years, going back and forth between Westport and West Bath. We thought it would be quite temporary. Ended up being 50 weeks a year for 4 years. He had to have been solidly in the 70s at that point doing that. It was incredible. Arthritis and the whole deal was just incredible. As Chris said, we had five official first members, the Wilkinses, Chelmans of the Church, Stricklands, Mineries, and the Michos. We called them the five families. For those of you who don't know what the real five families are, it's the five families of the mob in New York City, and there wasn't a whole lot different. In November of 2000, we signed an agreement with Heritage, as Chris mentioned. In the summer of 2001, at the behest of Joe Maneri, we had our first conference. We had Ron Baines come up, Mike Renahan, Jim Renahan, Micah's dad, did a conference on Seek Ye First and on Waiting for a Pastor. At that point, we were very eager and probably too eager, and they were counseling us to where to put our priorities and to rest in the Lord on our pastoral search. So from November 2000 to 2004, we did what we would call a pastoral search. But at the same time, we were continuing with church life. We had additional conferences, one with John Heaney, for those of you who remember, and Bob Self. We had a couple of different conferences similar to what we've done this weekend. We had Sunday school. We actually had a Sunday school that was about the doctrines of grace for young people. It was taught by me. And as you could tell, none of those kids come to our church, and none of them know what the doctrines of grace are. So you can tell how well that went. But anyway, that was a joke. It was all good. So we were going through gradually the looking for a pastor. We interviewed candidates in 02, 03, and 04 with a lot of ups and downs. You know, we had this interesting discussion constantly. Mike Renahan, really less so Ron, but it was mainly Mike that was helping us sort through that and the ups and downs of is the man qualified? And if yes, meaning biblically, then are there other things? Do we want him for other reasons? He's a good pastor. Is he a good teacher? Is he, et cetera? And it was a constant discussion about that. It was very interesting. And for a lot of us laymen, it was a learning and a growing experience. I'll tell you a quick story about that when I'm done here. But went through a lot of ups and downs, some difficult situations and others. And then in 2002, 2003 time frame, can't nail that down exactly, we first inquired about Ron with Mike Renihan. So our view was, because we had a very mature biblical view of this, we looked at Heritage, a small church in Massachusetts with two great pastors. We didn't have one, so why don't we get one of theirs? You know, it was very mature. So we told them, hey, Mike, why can't we have Ron? And we were told no. So we got shot down by Mike at that point. But in the fall of 2004, we were hearing things had changed at Heritage. And it resulted in Ron being called in November and installed April 20, I think it says 9th, 2005. And it was interesting. I had done a little bit of a history with the five families back at our 10th anniversary. And we had dinner and we were trying to remember all these different things. Well, I happened to keep the document. So I thought it was interesting when we were doing this. There was a note that I had written on the side of this part, and it said, one of the greatest days ever. And it was, for those that were there, it was the day Ron was installed. But we had, Jim Renihan was there, Mike Renihan was there, John Haney was there, and it was just an incredible day. It was such a culmination of everything that the Lord had been doing and what we were had hoped for, and I just remember it was just the highlight at that point of our church, and it was incredible. I'll tell you one quick story. We were going through a difficult time with the pastoral search, nothing over the top, but we had a candidate that, you know, he was good in some ways, and then some of us perceived some problems, and it's a long story I wouldn't get into right now. But it was stressful. It wasn't full with strife or anything like that. Nobody was arguing, but we had different points of view, and it was a struggle. Well, when we first got together with Mike and Ron, the contingent of men had gone down to meet with them and at their church. I remember that clearly. And they told us this story of recently outside of Boston or in Boston, I can't remember, but I do remember the event. There had been a horrific fire, and a bunch of firemen had lost their lives in the area. And of course, this is in Worcester and stuff. I don't know if you remember that or not, but it'd be back when our church was being started. It was around that 2000-ish time frame, whatever. And so they were telling us this story about one of the challenges was that they had firemen, so it was a lost cause. The building was collapsing, it was a raging fire, and these guys were dying. But they had firemen that were trying to get in and save their brothers. And they were fighting these guys off, knowing that they too would die. And so what they were telling us, they, Ron and Mike, was, that's got to be you guys. You've got to be that band of brothers. You've got to be that type. This is not just we're organizing a church. This is how you need to covenant yourselves and bond yourselves together. So I go back to that challenging time with that pastoral situation. We had gotten through it. We obviously didn't call the gentleman, but it was a really rough period, and we took a little bit of time off from meeting and having a prayer meeting. I can't remember, to be honest with you, how long. It was probably just a couple of weeks. It seemed like it was quite a while. I hadn't seen him for a while. I'm sure we'd gone to church again. I can't remember. But I do remember walking in. It was in this room in our house, and we were having coffee at our house, and we were going to have prayer meeting. And I hadn't seen these guys in that period of time. And I walked in the room, and I went, I now know what they were trying to tell us. Because I said, these are my brothers. And I missed them, and I loved them. And I'd do anything for him. And I went, now I understand that fireman story. So it was a blessing at the time. It's been a blessing for 18 years. So, thanks.
Amen.